Canto 33. The heathen come to their inheritance, O God, the lady sang. Now three, now four, wept and responded, singing in a trance of bitter grief, a sweet psalm to deplore what they had seen. And Beatrice, sighing, heard their melody, and Mary at the cross looked no more sad. But when space for a word from her was left in that long song of loss from the other virgins, she rose on her feet glowing like fire. A little while you will not see me, sisters, and then we will meet. Echoing Christ in sight of his last hill, she sent those seven forward, and she sent me with one gesture to a rearward place with Statius and Matilda. So she went onward, and had not yet reached her tenth pace, when on my eyes her striking eyes were bent, and with a tranquil air she said, "Step out more quickly, so that if I speak with you, you'll sooner know what I am on about." And when I walked, as I was bound to do, abreast of her, she said, "If you're in doubt, why don't you question me? For I am here." As one who finds his voice locked in his lips before someone that they too much revere, so did I speak, tongue like a foot that trips. "My lady, you must know, you know, my need and what will meet it." And she said, "From fear and shame forthwith I'd have you freed, that you no longer seem to speak in dread of dreams. The carriage that the serpent wrecked was and is not. But let who has the blame know that God's vengeance with its sure effect in time will come, and things won't be the same always for that lone eagle without air that left its feathers so the car became first beast, then slave, the rage and the despair. I see and say it, that the time is nigh when constellations free from all restraint and contradictions will appear on high to give these numbers, and they are not faint. I see them vividly in my mind's eye. 500, 10 and 5. These figures mean a duke, one sent from God, to slay that thief, that woman, and the giant whose obscene embrace corrupts her in their pact of grief. And my dark tale perhaps persuades you less, because, like that of Themis and the Sphinx, its cryptograms have left you powerless to follow, for the fogged mind never thinks until the facts come in. But so they will, as they did for the naiads, with no loss of flocks and corn through that wolf sent to till the fields of Thebes with fear and plow the dross. Face truth, wrapped in a puzzle. Note it well, and teach the words I say to those who live the life which is a race to death. You'll tell your tale in writing? Make sure that you give unhidden all the details of the tree, which here has been twice robbed. Say what you've seen, and say whoever commits larceny against it, or in any way has been violent towards it, promotes blasphemy of act against God, who for his sole use first made it holy. And for just one taste, the first soul, Adam, paid for his abuse with life, almost 1,000 years, laid waste, and then 4,000 more in death, until the crime's avenger died, to expiate that mortal hunger, though it lingers still. Truly, your wits are drowsy and sleep late, if they don't realize that for some due cause the tree is tall, and at the top grows great, reversed, that is. And if, without a pause, the flow through your mind of vain thought and fad had been less like that local source of lime, our little river Elsa, and you had not dipped your poor brains in them every time, like Pyramus and Mulberry, there'd be none of your strange blindness to the mortal right of this tree to require submission, one of Scripture's four main meanings, and indict the eating of its fruit. And this is done by God, to show how gaining righteousness, and here the principle stands in plain sight, in all its ramified expansiveness, begins with the forbidden. But since you are turned, I see, in your poor brain to stone, and being petrified are darkened too, so that my speech strikes light from every tone to dazzle you, this also you should do. Bear what I say away within your mind, in pictures, if not words, as they that bring the staff back as a sure proof, when they wind the palm around it, that this is a thing that saw the Holy Land. And I, just as the seal transforms the wax, so I am struck by you, and what you said, my brain now has stamped into it. But still I'm out of luck, because your words are far above my head, longed for but out of sight. The more I strive, the more I lose them. Why is this? She said. Just so you'll know, your writing friends who thrive on worldly knowledge can't, by what they preach, follow my words. Your path has been as far from God's as any mortal thought can reach, paths far apart as earth and heaven are. To this I said, I've no remembrance that I from you was even once estranged. My conscience is at ease. A smiling glance from her cloaked this rebuke. You haven't changed. You can't recall because you can't recall you drank today from Lethe, and if smoke means fire, then this forgetfulness is all your fault from that day your attention broke away from me and found some cause to fall elsewhere. But I will make my words as plain from now on as your rude wits may require to take them in without excessive pain. More splendid and slow-stepping, the sun's fire held the meridian, which shifts to match the standpoint of the viewer. It was noon. Just like a forward scout, should something catch his eye, and he adjudge it not too soon to turn and warn. The seven ladies paused at the edge of a deep shade, as might be cast by mountains on cold streams and partly caused by green leaves and black boughs. As they held fast, I seemed to see before them from one source the Tigris and Euphrates spring, and yet, like friends that part, each took a separate course, slowly but surely. How, when they are met right at the start, I asked, are these two streams parted like self from self? Light of the race of humans, glory of us all, this seems too strange for thought. And Beatrice turned her face, saying, Matilda is the one to ask. And that fair lady said, as if she sought to shake off blame, But I fulfilled this task before. Of this I gave him full report, and other things as well, and I am sure that Lethe's water still left what I taught intact. And Beatrice said, Perhaps there's more, a greater care, which often robs the wits of memory, turning recollection dim. But see, you know where it flows, with its capacity to bring things back. Take him to bathe in that, and do what you do best, revive his weakened faculty. And then Matilda, at her mistress's behest, with no excuses but submission when the moment came to be obedient in will, having received the certain sign of someone else's will and what it meant, with courtesy her hand enfolding mine, said, Come with him, to Statius. And no, I lack the space to write the smallest part, reader, of what I ought to sing. For so sweet was that draught, that never would my heart have drunk its fill. But all the sheets prepared for this, my second canticle, are filled, and from the curb of art I am not spared to take things further. Through the waters spilled by that spring I was remade. Forth I fared, a new plant, with new leaves, in a new time. The stars were there, and I was set to climb.